Ecuador. Because you have selected us and you spare us from wrath. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because we have not been appointed to wrath, but unto salvation, even as your word says. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because we live in the generation that you've spoken of, the generation that sees the complete triumph of the church over the world, even as you've spoken, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. But I thank you, Father, because we move step by step by step closer unto the realization of the great harvest that is before us. The final harvest, Father. And such is the task that you have given us, O Lord, that we should be partakers, not just of the harvest, but also laborers in the vineyard, that we shall be working to get in the final harvest. We thank you, Father, because some people sowed, and now we reap. We thank you because we live in the time of reaping, and we shall go out there and reap in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor that the fact that you're here means that you're going to be raptured. But today I'm going to answer a question, that what happens if you wake up one day and the rapture was yesterday and you're still in town? Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, God forbid. Praise the Lord. So what happens if you wake up and it was rapture yesterday and everybody has gone except you and you're still in town? Now I'm going to tell you from the scripture what your options will be. Of course, that does not mean that you will not be saved. Amen? That doesn't mean that you will not go to heaven. But I'm going to tell you from the scriptures what your options will be. And I must warn you that they are very grim. Okay? Revelation chapter 13 and verse 10. Now here are the options that you'll be left with. In the case you wake up and the rapture happened yesterday and you're still in town. They are as simple as this. He who leads to captivity must go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Praise the Lord. Now, there are going to be three categories of people who are not in the world. Now, here, the funny thing is, the people of the world will be completely convinced at the time that there is no God. There is, you know, they'll be having a nice time. Actually, they'll wake up in the morning and they've gotten rid of you vermin. You understand? Like you rodents and what. So now finally they can have the earth to themselves. That's what they'll be thinking. So while others are sorrowing because they don't know, now somebody who knows what happened and who knows what their options are will be very sad. Now for them they'll be happy, because at the time the mark of the beast is in place. By the way, a lot of the wearable technology, and everything starts in Sweden. Eh? Everything that is of the devil starts in Sweden. Now, the first country where companies are, you know, microchipping people and, you know, putting all the identification in a small chip, the size of a grain of rice, is in Sweden. Now, so many companies are doing it, and of course, they don't know any better. So all of people are, not that that is the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. But you see, before it comes, and before they tell you we are going to put something in your forehead or in your right hand, there already has to have been a preparation. a ground where people, it's not alien. People already know about my, you know, what they call wearable technology. They're already familiar with it. So, and you already know it. People have pacemakers. You know those people who have heart problems, and they put pacemakers, and they, you know, they are inside them. Then the implants, which ladies put for family planning. Eh? Not that, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. Eh? But my point is that we are, you know, now suddenly all your identification can be on a small chip. And now the technology has gone so up that they put one battery and they do not have to change it for the most part, because it recharges using your heart pumping, recharges the battery, so it does not have to be removed to be charged and taken back in. So they put, it's supposed to be a one-off thing. Eh? But as the scripture shows, is going to show us, there are so many things that will change there, which the Bible says. Now, so many people are taking it there. Actually, it has been happening elsewhere. In America, it's been mostly in security organizations and things like that, and where they actually, it's soft pressure. If you do not want to take this, which is free of charge, then you pay for an alternative means of being identified, which costs an arm and a leg. Actually, there's one particular person who refused because he said, how sure am I that it's not the mark of the beast? It is not the mark of the beast yet. You understand? Now, if you want to be sure it is, tell them put it on the left hand. If they can put it on the left hand, then it's not the mark of the beast. Because the scripture says clearly the mark of the beast is either in the right hand or in the forehead. Okay? Now, that is very clear. Now, if they say, no, it has to be a specific place, then perhaps then you have to. But it's not yet the mark of the beast. But, so all these things are happening, and it's all becoming a part of our culture where you need so many passwords, all these things. And they disturb, really, because you're everywhere you enter and all these things. Now, imagine if you could have that thing where you walk into your office, you don't have to put on these identification tags which corporate people put on and look like slaves. Or you don't have to put anything, you just walk and flash your finger, flash your arm and everything opens, no passwords, no what, and all those things, very convenient. Not just very convenient for the person using them, but also very convenient for everybody else because there is no fraud. You see, somebody has to, unless they are going to cut off your hand, in which case the battery would stop working, so they can't. The only way they can, or maybe put a gun to your face and you flash your, I don't know. But somehow it minimizes fraud, you understand? So, but it's all being said. But the difference is, by the time the seven-year agreement is entered into, and we first start the final 7 years of human government spoken about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, by the time that is through, it's already a popular culture that people wear that sort of thing. Only it is not yet down. Now, you know, somebody was saying, how will they do to us here who we do not have that technology? We do, by the way. Now, let me tell you, somebody was laughing. They had a joke, really, that you called for a pizza. I saw this joke somewhere on cyber. You called for a pizza, and the person tells you that, you know, the delivery service, that, so, can I have your national ID number? So you give it to them. Then the person says, so are you home or are you in office? Then you say, I'm home. Oh, okay, so that would be Kalerwe, here and here and here, because all the information is there with your national ID number. Then he says, how are you going to pay, by cash or by credit card? Or by, you know, then you say, I think I'll use mobile money. He says, no, you can't use mobile money because you have zero balance on your phone. So the only option, so where just by giving a number, every detail about you, of course it was a joke and we are not quite close to being anything like that, but in a short time we will, you understand? Eh? The whole world would be on one database and that actually would be it. Nobody can hide from anyone, from anywhere. Now, I'm telling you this to tell you what the options will be when you wake up in the morning and the rapture has happened and you're still in town. So now here are the options. Some people will go into captivity, and a march of the captivity, those who do not want to take the mark of the beast. Now, of course, what happens is they use soft coercion, whereby, just take this, this happens. Don't take it, you cannot get a job, you cannot move in public transport, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot own anything, you cannot do anything. So, Now, everybody, people around you have already taken it and they're having a blast, perhaps because they don't know any better. And now you, on the other hand, not too much. You know too much to go and get the mark of the beast, because you know the minute you take it, you've sealed your eternity in hell. You know that much. But everything around you depends on you taking it, because there is nothing you can do, from holding a job to nothing, absolutely nothing you can do without taking the mark of the beast. So now here is what people do. So some people run, others are captured. Here, those he who leads to captivity shall go into captivity. Now some people, on the other hand, will say, we are not going to stand here and just let the Antichrist run us over. Let us formulate an army and fight back. Eh? So they start to fight back against the Antichrist. But the scripture says he's given authority to prevail, because you are in his time. You understand? Eh? So those who choose to fight back, the next option, killed with the sword. Eh? Those who choose to pick the sword will be killed with it. You understand? Eh? In other words, with arms ready. That's the second option. Now, the third option is this. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, there will be some people who run down the clock somehow for 3.5 years until, the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ comes and rescues them. And the Lord said those who endure to the end will be what? Saved. But I'm almost sure, perhaps the only people who could be able to run down the clock would probably be here, where you can go to some village somewhere and, I don't know. But there's no way you can be in the so-called developed world and you run away from the arm of this. It's not possible. Where are you going to get food and things like those? But there are also options for that, because there will be some people who will starve to death. Eh? How do I know that? Revelation chapter 7, verse 12. Okay, these are people who are standing before the throne saying, amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? Verse 14, I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Verse 15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Verse 16, they shall neither hunger anymore. In other words, how did they die? Nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. Now, I want to show you that the sun and the heat and some of those things are going to be part of the vials, which will take place during that time. But here is the thing. When the seven-year agreement between Israel and her neighbors is signed, as we've spoken here before, it signifies the end of any kind of... In other words, we are 7 years to Jesus Christ coming and setting up his kingdom on earth. Okay? 7 years. Absolute definite. Now, when that happens, the scripture says the Antichrist enters into an agreement with Israel to give them. We've spoken about some of the details of what will be in the agreement. Part of it will be they will agree on most of the things which now they are haggling over in the Middle East. How do they manage the Temple Mount, which has two mosques, but also which the Jews want to build a temple. They will agree on that. And the scripture says how. It says that in Revelation 11, but also in Ezekiel chapter 43, exactly how they will do it, where you keep your mosques the other side, but this place is for the Jews, and they will build their temple there. And the temple is built within that time, the first 3.5 years. Then they start doing sacrifices again the way it is. Now, in the middle of the 3.5 years, then something happens. What Jesus and Daniel called the abomination of desolation. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 24, and Daniel spoke about it in that same verse, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The abomination of desolation. Now, that means that the Antichrist will go into the temple and stand in the temple and declare him, most probably in the holy place, and declare himself to be God, and say that I am the person you've been worshipping all along. I am the one. Okay? Now, we know that the Jews don't believe that even the Messiah is going to be deity. That's the one thing they do not believe. So they find the fact that we believe that Jesus is God laughable. There is one thing, him being the Messiah, which they don't even believe as it is, but now him being God or the Son of God, they find it laughable, okay? Because they have never quite believed that the Messiah is going to be deity. So now this man stands there, who they had accepted as the Messiah because he brought them peace and brought an agreement which finally ends all the battles they've been having with their neighbors. So then when he stands and calls himself God, then there's a parting. They believe, they know this guy is fake. And then suddenly now the guy turns around and starts fighting them. Now that's one of the things which happens, what Jesus called the abomination of desolation. But then also, when Israel rejects the authority of the Antichrist, and they start fighting, now the whole world at the time has turned against Israel. Of course, all these things are already in the process of being developed. Why? Because I told you last year, 2016, how the United Nations passed 20 resolutions against Israel. 20 resolutions against Israel. Altogether, they passed 24 resolutions. In the whole year, altogether, they passed 24 resolutions. One was against Russia, one was against Syria, one was against China, and another one was against North Korea, and 20 were against Israel. So the whole world community already set up against Israel. For some reason, they just don't like. And actually, the other day, the U.S. ambassador to the U.N. was saying that the world body should stop its obsession with Israel, because the only thing they ever talk about is Israel. Why? Because it's the devil's plan. That's the Antichrist, the spirit, one of the cardinal spirits of the Antichrist, throughout the generations, has always been hatred for the Jewish nation. From the old pseudo-antichrists, from Haman in the book of Esther, who wanted to destroy all the Jews, all the way down to Hitler. What do you think Hitler had against the Jews? You think it's because they were not the Aryan race, as he said? Arabs are not Aryan race either. Neither are we, you understand. Okay, he didn't like blacks that much either. Actually, there are so many races he didn't like. He didn't like gypsies, he didn't like... But it is the Jews who... Now, he hated them to an extent that when the tide of the war was turning and the transportation, the trains that were needed, they needed trains to transport soldiers to the battlefront. But the same trains were transporting Jews to the concentration camps to be killed. When he had to choose whether to take soldiers to the battlefront, where he was beginning to lose the war, or take the Jews to death, he chose taking the Jews to death. So that's how much he hated them, you understand? And by the way, let me tell you, all these stories you've heard of the Second World War and how, you know, Britain and what, of course, if you watch the History Channel, the British make it look like, man, they put Hitler to flight. It is not true. He was this close to running over Britain, and that would mean he would have ruled the world. Because by the time the Americans come, it would be too late. So we'd all be speaking German right now. So I'd probably be speaking to you in German anyhow. But he was this close. But the Prime Minister of Britain, Winston Churchill, called for 3 days of national fasting and prayer. Those are not things you're going to hear the liberal media telling you. But he called for 3 days of fasting and prayer because Hitler's forces were crossing over the water from Germany to the UK, and there was no resistance. I mean, UK had basically accepted. They could not handle them. So as they were approaching the British mainland, and these people were fasting, on the first day of fasting, the first day, something got into Hitler, and he said, no, it can't be this easy. So he called back his soldiers for consultation back in Germany, I think in Nuremberg or wherever. So he told them, no, it can't be. They said, come back for consultation. The commanders begged him and said, please, we have these people in the corner. This is our moment. He said, no, come back. They told him, listen, we are taking over in just a matter of hours. We are going to have this victory. He insisted that come back to base for consultation. And when they came back, by the time they finished the consultation and went back, the tide of the war had turned. So now that's not what you're going to hear. Now the point is this. But at that time when now the man chose, rather than perhaps turn, you know, stave the Allied forces that were coming against him, he chose the trucks to carry Jews. So now the spirit of the Antichrist, the first thing it hates is the Jews. Why? Because Abraham, The father of faith, you understand? Eh? And from the scripture says it, from the Messiah and all that. So the Jewish, now the trouble is, actually that spirit of the Antichrist even seeps into Christians, and they start saying, you know, you've heard all these things, eh? Of when people start hating Jews and what, because they've had the liberal media saying those things, eh? You know, Jews do what? Of course, they are not. They don't have necessarily have to be the best people. Eh? We know the things they do. You understand? Some of which are not terribly good, but we do not love them because they are good people. You understand? Eh? We love them because they gave us our faith. Jesus Christ said himself in John 4 that salvation belongs to who? To the Jews. Jesus said that. So we love them because they gave us, you know, the Messiah, and they gave us what? So you don't have to like them. Okay. It's actually best you like them and pray for their peace and so on. Because actually Paul said the same, okay, that we owe to them salvation. So when you're a believer, you have to understand that. Now, the spirit of the Antichrist comes with hatred for those people. Now, in the final 3.5 years, he has the platform where nobody can stand in his way. Now he can finally go for them. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And in the book of Revelation chapter 12, you've read that thing of, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. This is symbolic of what? Israel, okay? Go back, first verse 1. How do I know it is symbolic of Israel? The sun, the moon, and her feet, and 12 stars. The Bible uses symbolism, okay? Where else did I see this symbol? You remember Joseph's dream, okay? When he said, he went and told his father that he saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing before his star. You remember that? Now, the Bible does not use symbolism for nothing. So Jacob is the son, Israel, okay? And the moon was supposed to be his wife, and then the 12 stars, his children. So now, when something doesn't make sense in interpretation of Bible prophecy, you look where else it is mentioned. You'll find that it is mentioned somewhere else. Eh? And that always gives you a clue on which direction to take. Anyhow, so go ahead, verse 2. Then being with child, she cried out in labor, in pain to give birth, okay, to Israel, to the Messiah. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Who is that? Who is the dragon? The devil. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Now, this talks about a third of the stars of heaven, talks about Lucifer's rebellion. You understand? You remember he fell with how many angels? One third of angels, eh? Okay? And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born, okay? So she bore a male child who was to rule over the nations with the rod of iron. Who is that? Okay. And her child was caught up to God and his throne, okay? Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her by God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. This is exactly the 3.5 years of the final, 3.5 years. 1,260 days is exactly 12 months, going on 30 days a month, or rather exactly 42 months, going on 30 days of months, and exactly 3 years of the Jewish year. So 3.5 years rather. So this is the period. Now the woman flies into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared for her by God, that they should feed her there for 3.5 years. And war broke out in heaven. Now, this war took in heaven, where dragon or Lucifer fights with Michael, is not in the past. It's in the future. You understand? Eh? Don't think that it happened already. No, it hasn't happened. It's going to happen in the middle of the 3.5 years. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Okay? But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, by heaven, it's not meaning... Now, you see, this is the thing. Because when the scripture says heaven, it can mean any of the heavens. It can mean heaven. Now, those are things which scientists jump on and start saying that the Bible says rain comes from heaven. Of course, it means heaven means anything, you know, above. Eh? So that's why it talks about the third heaven. Now, heaven, anything there is the heavens. Eh? The heavens, you know, declare, they go out. Then there is the second heaven where the seat of the devil is, eh? Where he sits and rules the world. Now, if you've been, If you've been caught up in those spiritual thing, when you go up, you have to pass through a place where those people are. And I remember a story which was told me by Prophet Elvis. I will say it because he said it one day at fellowship. If he hadn't, I wouldn't. So, where he was passing the second heaven, and is Jesus, and he met those the most wicked demons, some of the most wicked, absolutely wicked demons, and they are looking at you with a lot of anger and bitterness, where you know if they could do anything, they would have done it. That's why, but there's nothing they can do. So, he's walking. Now, you imagine, the things are so, you know, fierce, but you're walking with the Lord. So he tells him, just keep quiet, don't talk to them, and they will not disturb you. So they just walk past them. Now that's the second heaven. Then they go to the third heaven, where the seat of God is, okay? Now this war happens, and Lucifer is chased out of the second heaven where he is. After the church is taken, now he's chased out of the second heaven. And by the way, let me tell you, there's a reason why there are certain things which happen on earth here. Like, I'll give you an example. Do you know that the closer you come to earth, the more the concentration of evil. Do you understand? Now this is an absolute fact. If you prayed when you're on a plane flying, you will see how much easier it is to pray. I'm being honest. That's why people go to mountains. That's why Jesus went to the mount. You understand? Somehow when you go to a high place, there is a cloud which, and that cloud is very, now, in the book written by Rick Joyner called When God Walked Planet Earth, talking about Jesus, he says when the Lord went into the wilderness to be tempted, specifically to be tempted, to fast and be tempted. So he goes in there and he walks, and the angels who are escorting him are told, you can't go past here. Now the Lord tells them himself, I have to do this myself. So he enters into the wilderness and starts fasting. Now he says the devil called all the demons from all over the world to create an envelope around that place in Galilee where the Lord was to make it easier for him to be tempted. You understand? So that he was almost going into a depression. So all the demons were called from Rome and what, all of you come. Now here, this is the big deal. You understand? So for them, they just come. And actually, he says that a thick cloud, an actual cloud, which could be seen, covered the whole place, and there were strong winds, and there were waves, and people drowned in the Sea of Galilee, and all that, because there was such a concentration of evil spiritual force just in that one place. Now, when the place is concentrated with demons above, where Jesus is, they give him some time to feel the impact. Remember, Jesus was handling that as a person, as a human being, purely like you and me. Not as God. He was doing it as a man. You understand? So now, then the devil comes to him. And now, the thing of, he says, Rick Joyner in that book, that when he says, turn these stones into bread, he says, the Lord was hungry, and he looked at the stones, and they actually started smelling like bread. And he was, he looks at them and he looks almost as if, he's really pushed to the wall. Then he says, no, it is written. Then the devil withdraws a bit. Then he comes back. So you think it's a small thing, but when the scripture says, tempted in every way, like the devil threw his best on Jesus, because he knew if Jesus could do one thing as God, you understand? He did not want him necessarily to sin. He just wanted him to summon his God powers. Then the devil would say, I was not beaten by a man. Because the reason Jesus had to come, he had to come as the second Adam. In other words, as a man. So the devil defeated Adam and caused him to sin. Now here is the second Adam. If I can cause him to be God, not man, then I've won. Then we'd be in our sins forever. You understand? But Jesus had to defeat him as man. So at no one stage did he call on his godly powers. He defeated him as man. You understand? Now, from describing that book, which of course the Lord showed him how it happened, it wasn't an easy thing. I didn't realize that how much the devil threw everything, his best effort, and says, this is it. If we can just pull this one off, and he tells the demons, this is our moment, And actually, he was even telling them that God made a very big mistake to come down as a man. Men, we've managed them for all these years. No man can manage me. This is what the devil was telling his demons, that no man can handle me. I am going to sort this guy. You just give me time. Now, he says that God should have stayed there. Now, when he saw that, anyhow, I said all of that to say this, that cloud of evil in the air, which somehow changes atmospheres, now it's thicker in some places than in others. I've told you that times when I've traveled in Europe, and man, it is so difficult to pray. Like, you have absolutely no idea where you have to pray in for an hour just to feel like you've begun to pray. You understand? Like, now here, you start praying, and within 1 minute, you're already there. Now, there, because there is such a cloud of evil, actually, I was in Sweden, the home of evil. Now, by the way, like, it was bad that even when you lift and come back to the atmosphere in Uganda, you almost feel like you're close to heaven. You understand? Because it is oppressive. It's oppressive. It's oppressive to anybody who wants to believe in God. To what? Now, even believing God for something simple, there are people whom I actually pity because they are trying to believe God for healing, but you are in Germany. The atmosphere, now here where you are, it is so much easier to believe God, because now what causes the atmosphere is the behavior of people, you understand? If people go and change their behavior and start, let's say, become born again and start worshiping God and all that, the atmosphere clears out and it becomes easier to go and, for instance, I witnessed that in Nigeria. I can tell you this for sure. I went to Nigeria last Christmas, and man, the atmosphere there is much better than ours. I think all those they have so many men of God in that country. Like, I went to pray to see what is going to happen. Now, I thought I was going to like pray for 3 days, then I start. The first night, I was already in the spirit, and I was seeing things, some of which I've, you know, spoken about. Like, I said, hey, what's so special about this place? Like, the atmosphere changes because there might be evil people, and they always are. But if the church is so strong in the place and people of faith, everything changes and it becomes easier for people to believe, easier for people to walk in the spirit and all those things. You understand? Anyhow, now, when the devil is in the middle of the 3.5 years, when the devil is cast down on earth, now the scripture says, okay, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, and he was cast to the earth, okay? Now no longer in heaven is, but on the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So now, if you're here after the rapture, you're going to be kubongering with the devil and demons, eh? Because they won't be operating in the second heaven any longer. They will actually be on earth. And there will be such a concentration of demonic activity, such as has not been seen, because demons would actually be walking among people, because they will no longer have any place up there. And then they will know, and it says in verse 10, go ahead, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame me by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Okay? Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. Now, listen, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Eh? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Eh? Now, those who went in the rapture, they are telling them, rejoice. Eh? The devil has been kicked down to earth. Eh? But where he has been kicked down for you, you're still here. Eh? Okay. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, that time he knows for sure he has only 3.5 years before he's put into the bottomless pit. Okay? So now, that's another event that happens up there. Now, then, of course, the tribulation starts. Now, you see, when we talk of tribulation, there's a lot of theology that suggests a 7-year tribulation. But actually, I've never seen any scripture that talks of a 7-year tribulation. I may be wrong. Okay? But I don't know of any. I've looked. The only scripture they use for a 7-year tribulation is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And I don't know how this scripture can be. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Those are 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Okay? Now, where does that say 7 year tribulation? Now, by contrast, the Bible talks about a specific time for a tribulation, 3.5 years. It says it 5 different times. One time it says a time, times, and half a time. A time meaning a year, times meaning 2 years, and half a time, 3.5. Then we read here it says 1,260 days, which is also 3.5 years. Elsewhere it says 42 months, which is also 3.5 years. Now, it mentions that 5 times in the scripture. It does not talk about any 7 year tribulation. I do not know where it is, but somehow very powerful end time preachers talk of a 7 year tribulation. And but I'm not going to, like, I'm saying where do, and I've had them say it says so in Daniel 9:27. And I've read this scripture a million times, and I do not know how anybody can say this is 7 year tribulation. So I will go with what I have seen from the scriptures, which is a 3.5 year tribulation. Now, of course, in theology, they will say 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years is tribulation, then the next 3.5 is great tribulation. Okay? Now, that can be a bit of semantics, eh? Because there is nowhere. Because, I mean, if somebody says if somebody says that Apostle Gabriel here is small, another one says he's very small, is he talking about a different person? So tribulation, great tribulation. But you know, somehow theology, but let's move on. So now the period of 3.5 years, tribulation. The devil is on earth, bongaring with you, very well. Things are going well, you and the devil. The Antichrist is in charge of everything that is happening on earth. He's in control. And the Bible says he was given to prevail against the saints. Now, something else happens, and the two witnesses, you've read about the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, who people say, some people say it's Elijah, and some people say it's Elijah and Enoch, because they are the only people who did not die. And yet the scripture says in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed to man to die once. So what happens in the scriptures talks about, and it's appointed man to die once, but after this judgment, okay? So the people say because Enoch didn't die and Elijah didn't die, so they are the ones. But then there's one small problem with that reasoning. So many of us here will not die either. You understand? We'll be raptured. There must be exclusions to this. That's one. But the second one also is, others say that it is Elijah and Moses. Okay? Now, more inclined, now that's not an issue, big issue for me, but I'm more inclined to believe Elijah and Moses, because let's go back to Revelation 11, and I'll show you what. I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. How many years? 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the final 3.5 years. Go ahead. These two are the olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Also spoken about in the book of Zechariah chapter 4. Now it says, these are the two olive trees. Okay, go ahead. Verse 5. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut the heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Who shut the heaven and did not rain for 3.5 years? Now you see, sometimes the scripture, the only witness we have to it being Elijah is this fact. We know Elijah shut the heaven and it did not rain for exactly 3.5 years. Now it's saying here one of the witnesses is going to shut the heaven and will not rain for 3.5 years. So I'm more inclined to thinking it's Elijah, okay? Then he says, and they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Who turned water into blood? And so that's why I'm more inclined to that, okay? Moses turned water into blood, the waters of the River Nile, you remember, and he struck the earth with plagues in the days of Pharaoh, when he was in the days of the Exodus. So now that's the witness. Now, but you see, because the world will be so turned against God and actually have wiped him out of their mind, they don't want to think about him. God sends two people who remind them that there's, you know, and now these two witnesses stand and they're an enemy of the whole world. The whole world wants to fight them. You see, now, even now you can see it. You know, the unbelieving world hates it when you tell them that you're a believer. Eh? because they are living in denial. You understand? Eh? It's like finding somebody who is living a nightmare marriage, and they want to believe all marriages are a nightmare. Then you tell them, "Ah, for us, we're having a nice time," and we are what? They get angry because they have convinced themselves that there is no good marriage, and you know they have. So somehow, then you remind them that no, you are the one who has a problem. Eh? For us at our home, things are okay. Now, this is how these people now. So these witnesses come at a time when nobody wants to hear them. Then they try to kill them, fire comes out. Then they have a lot of power. They have power to shut the heavens, to do what? And they do all these things and mesmerize the whole earth. Now, let's go ahead and let's read a bit of what happens to them. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified, which in actual sense is called Jerusalem. Okay? Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. Okay? And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Because you see now they are cleared on the side of the devil. Now anybody who represents God, they rejoice when he's put to death. Eh? So the men have died. Eh? Now finally we can have a blast. You see now why you don't want to be here? Because those people are enjoying the devil and the experience. Eh? You're the only one who is miserable. For them they're having a blast. Okay. Now, and they send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Okay. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and the great fear fell on those who saw them. And they had, now, this is happening in front of, it says the whole world sees it. In other words, it's happening in front of television. Everybody sees them coming to life, okay? Now, this is what happens here. Now, this is part of the things which happen. But then also, something else happens in these years. Now, by that time, almost everybody has the mark of the beast. Except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says. But there's one thing about the mark of the beast and everything. Oh, there's one problem with wearable technology. Now go to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. It says, "And then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having 7 last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." Now, you're on earth, but God has to bring his wrath on earth. Remember, it says the devil comes down to earth with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Now, God is also bringing his wrath on the people on earth. Eh? So the devil is angry, God is angry. Eh? And you're here. You had better not be, you understand? Eh? So 7 angels having 7 last plagues, for in them, the wrath of God is complete. Now, I've had people saying that it's not the wrath of God, it's the wrath of the devil. No, actually, it says here very clearly, it's the wrath of God. Eh? So it's the wrath of both. "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of the glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty.'" Go to verse 16. Or rather, chapter 16, verse 1. Chapter 16. Now, I want to show you, there are 7 plagues here. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the 7 angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" Okay? Verse 2. "So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image." Now, I want you to know that these people, the batteries they use things like helium, okay? And now helium actually can have adverse effects on the body. You understand? Actually, you put those headlines that I showed you. Now, these are some of the things where people have things in their body and some of the things that have been known to be capable of happening. Now, I know here that what happens is the batteries of those people, of the mark of the beast, burst, explode in there, and actually they get a very bad sickness and they become very sore. What the Bible says here, a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who are the mark of the beast, okay, and those who worshipped his image. Now, hearing aid batteries record because they could explode in users' ears. You see, like these batteries, no matter how good the technology, this is the mirror, and you can, no matter how good the technology, they can explode in somebody's body. Now, if they put something inside you, now these are hearing aids which are not even exactly put inside of you, But anything that is put inside you, something can happen. Now the scripture says it will happen. You understand? And then a fall and a loathsome sore comes on them. Go to the next one, which is almost similar. Pacemaker safety alert. Thousands of patients at risk of serious infection because battery life isn't long enough. So the battery could explode. It could die inside you. And you have a dead body, battery or helium battery, which, by the way, is not too much different from the batteries of all these gadgets that we use. So the third one, which is also similar, you can see these newspapers. So now, when the first angel comes and pours his bowl, the batteries explode inside people, and they get sores, everyone who has the mark of the beast. And the scripture says, do they repent? No, they don't. Okay, I'll go ahead, verse 3. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. Now, I just want to go through a few of the plagues, not all of them. The fourth plague, verse 8. The fourth plague. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. Now, all these plagues are happening in the space of three and a half long years. Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that these days the years rush very fast? Do you think it's psychological? No, it is not. It is not. The scripture said, at the blowing of a trumpet, he quickens the days, and one day becomes a third of a day. You understand? And that already happened. Now I can tell you that. That what, if you were alive in 1990, or let's say in the 1980s, the time, now you say, how come people growing at the, everything else changes with time, you understand? So you won't say that my kid is now 12 years, but since God rushed, the time is 8 years. No, he is 12 years. But everything rushes with the time. And now, the scripture says, unless God shortened those days, nobody would be saved. And I'm going to show you, because God realizes that these are tough days, and there are some people on earth who still have to be saved. So he shortens the days. Now, when the days are shortened, even everything else is shortened, including everything else falls in line with the days. I'll give you an example. If you could run 100 meters in 9.69 seconds, as it is right now, okay? If the days are shortened, even your speed will increase and you still run 100 meters in 9.69 seconds. It adjusts accordingly. Do you understand? Anyway, that's too complex for some of you, but never mind. But it is the truth. Okay. So, the fourth angel poured out his bowl, sun, and given to scorch the men with fire. Where else did we read about the heat? The people who had come out of the heat and are worshiping God, remember? Now here, so many of them die out of the heat. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch the men with fire, okay? And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over the plagues, and they did not repent or give him glory. Remember, at this time, it is impossible for anybody to repent. Once you take the mark of the beast, you cannot repent. No matter how much the plagues, you just blaspheme God more. It's impossible for you to repent when you have the mark of the beast, okay? Okay, let's leave that. Now, the sixth plague, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Now, when the Bible says things like unclean spirits like frogs, like you cannot dream something which has frogs and it's good. There are certain things, flies, frogs, you know, of course, snakes and all that, where you know it's bad. You start from that point. Now, you will never dream things like an eagle or a dove and it's bad. It has to be good because they have been, you know, marked as anyhow. Unless, of course, they are representing countries like, for instance, an eagle, America, and so on. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now imagine, that's out of the mouth of the devil's trinity. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Each one releasing what? Frogs. One frog each. Three frogs. So it's like frogs coming out of the mouth. Okay. Go ahead. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and of all the world to gather them to the battle of the great day of the God of God Almighty. Okay? Which great day is that? Of Armageddon. Verse 16. Behold, I'm coming as... Now, look at how Jesus throws in this scripture here, out of nowhere. He says, now these people are gathering the armies. Finally, as I told you before, the final battle for the city of Jerusalem. Now the devil says, this is my moment. Jesus Christ said he is coming to Jerusalem. We are going to go and capture Jerusalem. The idea is to try and stop Jesus from coming and setting his foot in the city of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, like the scripture says he will. So they gather them all together. But now in the midst of telling you all this, then the Lord drops a thing. Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walks naked and they see his shame. In other words, don't be caught here. This is not your portion. Amen? Tell your neighbor, this is not your what? Tell them, this is not your portion. Eh? By this time, you should not be in town. Eh? Okay. Now, let's go ahead. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew, Armageddon. That is for the final battle, the battle of Armageddon. Okay. Now, that is the sixth plague of deceiving spirits, which come and deceive the nations of the earth and the kings and tell them, come, let's go and fight. And fight against the armies of Israel, but also against the Lord. Now, the seventh, now I want you to see this. The book of Revelation is seven seals, seven vials or bowls of whatever, and seven trumpets, okay? Now, the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh bowl are the same, okay? They denote the end of human government. All of them happen at the end of human government. Now, the seals start from almost centuries ago. The trumpets start a bit later. And the vials will all be in a space of 3.5 years. But all of them end on the same day, which is called the day of the Lord. Okay, verse 17. It says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Okay? And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, and such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on earth. Remember when I told you about the meteorites and so on? Remember when I told you that? Now something which can happen, some of you are not here, something which can happen and every mountain is shaken out of its place. Actually, the earth is shaken out of its orbit. Anyhow, now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her a cup of wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, so I'm going to run very briefly through what is going to happen coming up after this short break. The break of the rapture. So you have three options. Either if you are caught left here after. Okay, four options. Option number one, rapture. Amen? What's the option number one? Rapture. Now, option number two, in case rapture fails, if symptoms persist, okay. In case rapture fails, captivity, the sword, or patience until Jesus comes. You wait it out. You vumulia, you struggle until the end. But these are some of the things that will be happening. First of all, there will be great spirituality on the earth. Now, you see how the people of the world are moving with, do you see how spiritual people have become these days, in the evil world, where now almost everything is done spiritually. Now, people have been opened up to a spiritual world. Those who go into New Age have gotten there. These people of witchcraft and all that, where now people are moving in the spirit and doing all these things and spying on what, and so on and so forth. Now, when the devil is here, and all these demons are here. All the billions and demons are on earth, not in the heavenlies. Imagine how much more spiritual activity there will be of an evil nature. Okay? Now their spiritual activity is tempered because of the church. There are things they cannot do because of, you and me. But that time the church is no longer an issue. They are in charge. They are in total control. Okay? So there's going to be a lot of spiritual activity after people have come from the second heaven, number one. Number two, there's going to be tremendous deceit. Now, I want people to think that, the Antichrist, even in his coming, he comes peacefully and, as if negotiating, which is a trick of the devil. this is how it happens. All like the number one trick of the devil, all secret societies, all cults, all what, all of them have the same trick, and it's the trick of the devil. Lure people in. You know, make it look like they have a chance to leave anytime. If you don't like, you can leave. Once you've taken 2-3 steps in, it's too late for you to leave. You understand? And so many people are caught in things which, if they could, they would leave, but they can no longer because they have taken too many steps in. Of course, there are ways they could leave, but they are told if they leave, they have to die. So those who are still holding on to Christ in that time will be subjected to coercion. Now imagine, the scripture says that, Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. Okay, go ahead. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Go ahead. See, I have told you beforehand. Now, I want to tell you this. Where you are right now, if somebody came and told you that Jesus Christ is out there, you tell them, shut up. And you continue taking your cappuccino. You understand? Because you are not in that time. But now, when things are at the moment, when you are hanging on, you cannot eat, you're starving, you're hungry, you cannot do anything, and you're basically waiting for Jesus Christ to come back. In that period, it is so easy for somebody to say, he's out there. And you say, because you're desperate, now you're not. Because if you tell them to shut up, you'll continue living your life and so on. Of course, there are deceptions which cannot work in certain circumstances. But then, in different circumstances, they can work. Now, this is how, now the devil's tactic is, he presents, the Bible says he destroys many in Daniel. He destroys many in their what? In their prosperity. You understand? Now, you're here, you're starving to death. Now, they do not force anybody to take the mark of the beast. You're starving to death. The people who have taken the mark of the beast are having a blast. Okay? And they think you're stupid. They actually think you're so stupid. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with just putting something in you? It doesn't even pain. It means just, you know. It takes only 1 minute and they have stamped it in you. What's wrong with you? But you see, you're too enlightened to fall for that. But they present all these scenarios. Have you ever seen, all these scenarios where it is so easy. Just do this and, you know, everything will be fine and so on. Now you're saying no. So you hang on one day, hang on the next day, hang on the third day. Now every day is so long. Okay? Now here you think the days are short. There the days are so long. And you're saying 3.5 years, man. That sounds like an eternity for you at the time. Then somebody says, he has come, he's out there. Then you run, but they are lying. And you fall for that deception. Now this is what Jesus is saying. Go ahead, verse 26. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Okay, verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So you say, those people who are still on earth at the time, in as much as the things will be tight, when Jesus comes, it will not be for telling you he's there. He's not coming in secret. He will come like lightning where everybody sees him and you know he has come. Okay? Now you think this, because I mean you read and say, how can anybody tell me he's in the desert? And I go, really? I mean, I know better than that. Okay. You be raptured. Then you know better than that. If you're not, it becomes, when you're struggling, everything is believable under those circumstances. Okay, so there's a lot of deceit. And also, there are so many deceiving miracles. Verse 24 of the same, Matthew 24:24. For false prophets and Christ and false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect. Now, I want you to know that because there's a lot of demonic activity, they actually miracles. The Bible says the false prophet calls fire from heaven to earth in the sight of everybody, and everybody sees it. But that's just one. Everybody else is doing miracles. False prophets, false Christs are all doing great wonders, great wonders. Now, imagine you're holding on to something you had in the Watchman in 2017. Now, somebody comes, and when the Watchman told you that, he did not even do a great sign. You understand? He just told you what the scripture says. Then some guy comes and says, what did I tell you? That what? No, that's a lie. Then the guy pulls off a great sign. Like something which is, you know, and the purpose is to deceive people. So even those who know actually can get deceived because you're holding on to a word. Okay? and somebody comes and confronts the word with something powerful. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 to 14. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. We know who this is. That's the false prophet. Eh? And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs. Remember the small Christs and false prophets perform great signs. Now here, this one is also performing great signs so that even he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Now, if you did that today, as some people have done, I was told some prophet in South Africa called fire from. Have you heard of it? And he's a man of God. He called fire, but you never see it on CNN. But when the false people do it, the whole world, wow. Like, because they know, they choose what to cover. You understand? So they choose what to make big. Now, if a person, now there are men of God who can do those things. Called fire. But if you called, and even if you did it in front of people, and somebody goes and said, the man called fire, said, no, scientifically, it is not what. But the day the false prophet goes and does it, the whole world will say, wow. And they will believe it because they refuse to believe the truth. God gave them over to a delusion. You understand? Okay. He performs great. Go to the next verse. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast. You see, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So the deception is not just words. The deception is coercion, is torture. It is deprivation of food. It is signs and wonders. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Like they have surrounded you. Some people will fall for food and say, I'm an angel in Numa. Okay, give me the mark of the beast and give me food. Eh? And those ones will also be there. Then some will say, I'm not going to, if I starve, let me starve. Eh? Then they hold on to, then they use all manner of pressure, of coercion, of forcing your family. The Bible says that your very family will be your enemies. What's wrong with you? Why don't you take it? None of them will be able even to give you food because for them they can buy and sell, for you cannot. Then you survive that. Then they come, these ones of deceit, great signs and wonders. Maybe you might be deceived. Like the devil has his master plan. Now this is his time. This is his 3.5 years. Now, he wants everybody there to go to hell. Now, there are people who are holding on because for them they believe they are going to heaven. But he's going to apply every trick in the book to make sure that... Okay. So Revelation 16, verse 13 to 14. Revelation 16, I just want to show you that. And I saw three unclean spirits, this one which we read. Also unclean spirits of what? Frogs performing what? Signs. Go ahead to verse 14. Demons performing signs which go out to the king. So either way, you're surrounded with signs. Then those who do not worship the beast are killed. Do not worship the image of the beast. So you're facing death, you're facing hunger, you're facing what? You're surrounded either way. And you're looking at your clock, and 3.5 years looks like an eternity. You understand? And you're saying, Jesus, I wish you'd just make it 1 year. And 1 year I can manage. 3.5. Okay. And remember, the scripture also says that the devil is given authority to prevail over believers. Revelation 13:7 says, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Okay? Now, Matthew 16:18 says, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail. Yeah, that is now. But that time, the gates of hell will prevail. Because the church will not be there. Now, the other verse says he has been given power to prevail, and that now he cannot prevail. Actually, now, if you overcome by them or by evil, the scripture says you're weak. Because you are in a time of prevailing, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. That is the word by which we are living. But not that time. Go to Revelation 13:7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Also, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 9 says, and out of one of them came a little horn, which grew exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, towards the glorious land. That is the Antichrist. Go ahead. And it grew up to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him daily sacrifices were taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Verse 12. Because of transgression, an army was given over to the horn to oppose the daily sacrifices, and he cast the truth down to the ground. He did this and prospered. In other words, he did this and prevailed. He cast truth down. And what I'm trying to show you is that this is his time. Eh? This is your time. Amen? Tell your neighbor, this is your time. This is your time. But that time, it will be his time. Now, Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 also says this. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise having fierce features who understands sinister schemes. Okay? His power shall be mighty, but not by his power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their what? So imagine a scenario where just take the thing, prosperity awaits you. Like some adverts are saying. Yes, some bank advert saying prosperity awaits you, but when you go there, you become poor. Eh? Like, just take the mark of the beast. Eh? On the one hand, on the other hand, good things. Eh? All it takes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Eh? Do you see how it sounds like I can't? Ah, man, how can I take the mark of the beast? You're talking now. Eh? Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, I want you to tell you this, eh? That before the devil's time comes, before his 3.5 years, he uses flattery, okay? He uses, by the way, one of his biggest tools is flattery. Flattery is telling somebody something that they want to believe about themselves, but is not true. You understand, eh? It's like coming and telling me that, man, you guys, you have a six-pack. Eh? That is called flattery. Because, in other words, telling you something that you'd want to have, but you don't have. Eh? And they put you in a position where you think you have it, so you feel nice about yourself. Eh? That is what they call flattery. So now, but the flattery of now is telling people, by the new age flattery, of telling people that you're God. They say that God did not create man. It's man who created God. In other words, man came up with this concept of God. So they say, now this is New Age doctrine, eh? Per excellence. You are the only God there will be. Hmm? Actually, there's some guy who got into those things. And he was a powerful believer. Eh? Powerful believer. Very powerful teacher of the word. Eh? But thankfully now I think he came out of it. Eh? But that's a very powerful deception. He got into those things where they say, no, you're God. You're God. So they start, you know, working. They say, there's no other God. It's you. You just have to use only 10% of your capabilities. You've heard that crap. Eh? That why if you get to 60%, you can do what? Man, eh? Now this guy started saying, no. So some lady came to him who thought he was still in the way of the Lord, eh? And said, man of God, man, can you pray for me? Eh? I said, pray to who now? Eh? Then he told her that if you could only pray to me, eh? That my spirit would come and sort you out. Can you imagine the woman looked at him like this? But the guy had actually believed his God. Now that's that's the flattery that where he corrupts them with flattery. And now you start exhibiting supernatural things which you could not do before. Now I know some of them who started having out-of-body experiences and all these things through evil. And they actually believe that there is. And man, it is so, by the way, there's nothing as deceptive as that. Eh? There's nothing as deceptive as going into the spiritual realm any other way apart from the way of the Holy Spirit. There's a way it's very bad. You see, anyway, it is very, very dangerous. Because when you start exhibiting spiritual qualities outside of Christ, you've entered very dangerous territory. Very dangerous territory. Anyhow, which is why in the realm of Christ, the Lord somehow retains those for certain mature people. Eh? You mature in him, then you start exhibiting that. Eh? where it comes out of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You've understood that? So do not desire spiritual things more than you desire the Holy Spirit. Let him be the one to lead you there. I mean, if you have a relationship with him, step by step, he tells you, now you can do this, now you can do this. He starts leading you, but have you ever tried to do this? Isn't it? Some of the people here know what I'm talking about. So he starts telling you now, you don't have to do this, you can do this. So you exhibit spiritual things by the Holy Spirit, then that way you actually are dependent on. Now, if you try to want them so much, they can be very dangerous. Now, this is what happened with this. Anyhow, so now he corrupts them with flattery. But then he says, but the people who know they are God, the people who know they are God, not those who know about God, but those who know, who have a relationship with God, they will be strong in these first 3.5 years before the reign of the Antichrist. They will, now, while the demonic activity is much, the spiritual activity in the church is going to be at its peak. Amen? Where people are no longer scared of the devil, where the people of the world are scared of you. Not because now you find most of the people, a lot of the people, they come to you, man of God, pray for me, what, I'm having this, demons attacking me at night and what. Now, demons will be running when they see you. Because those who are, now God is lifting us to that place. You understand? God is slowly lifting up to that place, praise the Lord. Where you know who you are, you know what you have. You cannot be, the devil runs scared when he sees you because he sees the Lord in you. Now, those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, okay? Where people are praying for the sick, people are doing powerful things, but they're, and I'm talking about a few years from now, a lot of things are going to change, amen? Now, you see, the people of the church, when you say these things, they say, ah, we've waited. Let me tell you, do not despise the time of preparation. God has to prepare people for certain things, eh? Because if you had that power now, it would destroy you, amen? It's like I was talking to some rich man who has a lot of money, and he was telling me that his son who is going to get all that money, the guy, he takes him through a rigorous training. He goes to school with pocket money of 10K. Eh? So, he told me that if I do not teach him certain discipline, the money which is supposed to help him will destroy him. So it's more important to him that he learns discipline, so that when I hand him over this empire, he has the discipline to control it. So he said that the guy would be working at his businesses, changing tires in his work. He says, you want money? Come and get a job. So he works there with the lowest workers in the thing, and he's the boss's son. And there's no difference, by the way. So apart from when they leave home, is when he ceases to be son. He's only the son when they come home. But once they leave, and now in the morning, when he's driving out, the guy has to stand there and hook a lift. Otherwise, you have to body. Hook a lift from his dad. So he told me this, and I was actually saying that, man, isn't this being too harsh? Then he actually said, the man told me that very rich man, he told me he had his son telling his grandmother, that gentleman's mother. Now, he was in this room, and he had the boy telling his grandmother that at school people say that I'm lying. I'm not so and so's son. Because the guy is always broke. So you come to school and you claim to be a son of this rich man, and you're always broke. So he said, man, people at when I tell people at school who my father is, they say you're lying. You must be one. So the man said, actually, when he heard that, he was okay. He was taken aback a bit. I said, maybe I'm being too strict. I should ease a bit. So he is now. The idea is. The point is this. I said that to say this. Do not despise the days of training. Esther spent 1 year being trained to be king. Do you know what they do that 1 year? You wake up, some of you wouldn't mind. You wake up in the morning and they are massaging you and what? Put oil, aromatherapy and what? 1 year, just preparing to go to be with the king to see if he will choose you to be the queen. And 1 year, a whole year, where you have maids assigned to you to meet you everything, everything you want. Oh man, now then you wake up in the morning and say, man, I want these nails now purple. And what? Then they do them. Then you want a foot massage. Then what? 1 year of preparation to go and be king. But you see these days, somebody says, ah, man, 1 year I've wasted there. No, the time of preparation is not wasted time. Amen? 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 So the time you are prepared, you take being prepared to receive the thing that God has for you. It's not wasted time. It is very powerful time. Because when these things are handed to you, man, you do exploits. You do exploits. Now tell your neighbor, but the people who know their God. No, you tell him this. But me who knows my God, I shall be strong and do great exploits. Amen. How many of you believe that? Now, it's about knowing God. Remember, it says this. It doesn't say those who fast a lot, those who do what? Those who know God. Those who know God. Amen? Those who do what? Those who know God. Because God does not give his power to people who do not have his character. Glory to God. Now, the one thing you know that somebody has authority from God, the first thing you know when somebody has authority from God is when they do not know, when they do not use it for. You understand? Like John tells Jesus that let's call fire from heaven to burn them. Then Jesus tells him that Jesus rebukes him and tells him, you do not know the spirit that you are of. But you see, a time came when John had the authority to do that. Did he call the fire? No, he said, love one another. Now, when you don't have it, like, have you ever seen those football matches where the referee, players come and abuse him, and I say, man, if I was the referee, I would just give him a red card, red card, red card. That's because I'm not a referee. Because if I was a referee, the game would end with three people each side. But if you have been prepared to be the referee, you will know how to keep your what? Your cool. Because the time came when John had that authority, but he could not use it like that. He just said, love one another. You cannot call fire from heaven too, you know. Now, God does not give his authority to people who do not have his character. Amen? So those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So turn you to your neighbor and tell them, please. Now, do it. Tell him, please.
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 Make sure you're not here when the rapture happens. Glory to God.
Amen.
But you see, none of you is going to be here. So I've wasted the whole hour telling you what will happen. No, I have not. Besides, people, these messages are recorded and played. So maybe some people will be warned that don't play around. Don't play around. Because it is tough. Tough. Once the rapture happens and you're in town, it doesn't mean you're going to be lost. You will still be saved. You can still be saved. But man, that is passing through fire. That is, which is unnecessary. Unnecessary. Rejoice the heavens, for it is done. But woe to the people on earth. That is the key scripture. Rejoice those who are in heaven, but woe to the people on earth. So remember those words the next time you what? So when we tell you rapture, don't say, somebody was telling me that, no, we still have so many years. We still have so many. And there are people who still love this world so much, they cannot think, they are so in love with this world. What's so good here? Like, there are people who are so in love with this. Now, let me tell you something. I was talking to somebody who was translated into heaven and spent there a short time. You know where they beep you, heaven. Then he came here. He came back. He said it's the most depressing feeling. When you've been in that place and you come here, it is very... Now, even the people will say, man, I don't want Jesus to come until I get married. If you even had a chance to be there 2 minutes, you would say, I don't want, please. I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to go back there. Like, you realize how oppressive this place is in comparison to... Like, he says you come back and... Man, everything, you even lose appetite for everything, man. Everything looks dreary. So what? Glory to God. So rejoice those who are in heaven. Rejoice those who are raptured. Rejoice those who are going to be raptured. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. There is somebody who has, like, a lump in the throat or something. Something in the throat. Some throat something. If you are that person, you come forward. Then I'm led again to pray for people who are having, now listen to this, people who are having very long periods, which take too long, which consume most of the month. That's not long, irregular. If you're one such person, receive this, please. Receive this. Make sure it does not happen after this, because the power of God to change that is here. Okay? So even those who are listening, on whatever, if you are one such person, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because now whatever you are, just say, I receive no more short and not painful periods. Receive it. I release the healing to turn every period, every person who is having such problems, into normalcy in the name of Jesus. They will take the days they're supposed to take. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in Jesus' name. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I release healing upon you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I decree, I release healing upon you in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke that sickness, and I command it to depart from you, from both of you, in the name of Jesus. You can go and sit down. And now you, there is something else about finance that I'm releasing to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And the month of May, do you have a job? Like no, now it's going to be definite.
Amen.
In this coming month.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, receive it.
I receive it.
What's with you? Okay. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What did you study?
Business management.
Are you doing some research things?
Yes, I have a book that I have to research on.
So that's what it's like?
Yeah, like I have a book, like I write, and so I have a book, and I have a lot of research to do on it. Okay, I can't call it research as such, but yeah, something like that.
Okay, in the name of, okay. So the like research is... I think you picked up to do some kind of research. You know these things of collecting data and what,
yes.
But it leads into a full-time job.
Okay. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Father,
Amen.
I thank you.
Amen.
Because actually, your life is going to turn around.
Amen.
In every way.
Amen.
Because I'm even seeing other things.
I receive.
You also receive them.
I receive them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing upon you. Jesus' name, you hold that place, which is in the name of Jesus. I thank you because I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I speak healing. I minister healing to it in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now somebody has an interview on Monday. Who is that? Who has an interview on Monday? You. Where? Where is the interview? Okay. Okay. Let's come and I pray for you. Okay. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for favor. I thank you because you opened doors for him. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because... thank you for his ministry. I thank you for the ministry that he has. Because you have to work for 2 years before you get into ministry.
before you get into whatever, before you actually start now moving out, venturing out into ministry.
Yes.
You have to work for 2 years.
Glory to God.
Amen. So favor upon that job interview in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for each and everything that your people give here this day in the name of Jesus. I bless your name, Father, because we connect with you, the fountain that does not run dry. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because needs are met. I thank you because people are promoted. I thank you because they see success. In the name of Jesus, I glorify your name, Father, because you give favor for those who need favor. You give openings for those who need openings in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because nobody here shall lack, because you are the provider. I pray that you continue to reveal to us how you are the provider, and your faithfulness shall we feed on. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bring this that we bring as a portion of our faith, that you are our supplier. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.